Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody has, as I said, had a blessed evening.
I want to greet everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. We are continuing this morning in this series, False Salvation, Is It Possible? And we can see from the things that we have gone over previously that you can be in the body and Habakkuk has said that, you know, we're not to confront you, really. If you're not walking right, we'll get into some other things another day. But if you're not walking correctly, or if you're not believing everything exactly, then he says he's going to be the judge of that. And so we're going to leave it there for now as we go, walk into this precept. This morning, what I want to cover as far as this goes is we talked about that Messiah would, that we had to turn from our transgressions. We're responsible for that. And that he will give us a new heart. But we have to first turn away from our transgressions, throw them away, and turn ourselves. And so on this morning, we're going to get into the aspect of being born again, okay, because there are doctrines out there, and we're going to do it from the standpoint of being, you know, saying we're a member of Messiah's body, but having not been born again. And then I know there's doctrines out there that teach people that being born again is when you are resurrected. We're going to see what the scriptures say. But being born again is being born again with this new heart, this new spirit, that you would obey the commandments of the Most High, that you would do his judgment, okay, and that you would truly have his spirit, his heart. So we're going to go ahead and start this morning off with our statement of faith. And we're going to jump into this precept. And I just need to focus because my mind is all over the place right now. All right. I believe that. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your head toward the east. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify your name and we lift you up and we magnify you, Father, on this morning. And we bow down before you and commit ourselves 100% to your will, Father. And we pray, Holy Name. And we will be obedient to you, Father, and worship you and you alone, for there is no other. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah to you, Father. 10,000 times 10,000. Hallelujah to you. You are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy, O Yahweh. You are worthy of all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, O Yah Elohim. Holy hand praise to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins. We forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that we have done wicked. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we're asking, Father, that you would turn your eyes and your ears back toward your people Israel, for this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you would wake them and give them an unction to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this morning, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. And our scripture reading for this morning, 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46, and I will personalize this in your hearing. No man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee and all our transgressions, wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron. For that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? but to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah, command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 and 27, 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which Yah Elohim of thy fathers giveth thee to possess all the days that you live upon the earth. The book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. Let me get my Bible to come up here. I don't know where it's going to. Just a second. Interesting. That's too much stuff. Okay. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. The book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. The book of John chapter 14 and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
Thank you. Gotta be where you are. wanna be where you are. Be it where you are. Enjoy it where you are. And love it who you are.
Everybody this morning. As I said, we pray that you are having a blessed Feast of Unleavened and that you have removed leaven from your life in the sense of sin and willful transgression and ignorant transgression. As the song said, you become the fire. You provide the fire. I'll become the sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Elohim, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be proved what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. So on this morning, as we look into this precept, false salvation, is it possible? If we don't do what the Most High says to do, how he says to do it, for the reason he says to do it, then we can enter in to a false salvation. I want to go back to the book of Ezekiel chapter 18 on this morning. The book of Ezekiel chapter 18. And as we read these verses, here that we understand that the Most High said we have to turn. We have to change our ways. The people are looking for the Most High to give them a new heart and a new spirit without them having to do anything. And that is just not what he said. Okay? Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 31 and 32. Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 31 and 32. Cast away from you all your... Well, I actually want to start in verse 30 on today. Starting Ezekiel chapter 18, starting in verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith Yah Elohim. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Let me repeat that. Therefore will I judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith Yah Elohim. Repent and turn yourselves. He's not going to turn us, turn ourselves from all our transgressions, so iniquity shall not be our ruin. Verse 31. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you transgress. This is something that each individual has to do. Cast away all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Now, the house of Israel is every individual that makes up the house of Israel. But this also goes and is for today's world. The house of Israel is scattered. The Most High has opened salvation to the world. And so everyone that comes to him has to cast away their transgressions. Everyone has to turn from their transgressions. Everyone has to make a new heart and a new spirit, make space for a new heart and a new spirit. These are the pre-qualifications. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that diet, saith Yah Elohim. Wherefore, turn yourselves. He doesn't say he's going to turn Israel, but he is going to give those that turn themselves a new heart and a new spirit. And you and live. So we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice. We are to get this new heart and this new spirit by casting away our transgressions. There's so many that I've heard say, you know, we're going to be sinful and have these problems until Messiah returns. You don't turn yourself. Messiah will return and kill you. He's not going to come and save you, bless you, and say, oh, well, you tried. That's not the way it's going to happen, because he expects for us to turn ourselves. We got to make the decision that we're going to cast away our transgressions. I'm not going to do that anymore. All of them that we do. Verse 31 again. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. This is what people are waiting for the Most High to do, to make them a new heart and a new spirit, like he's going to do all the work. But we don't have no changing to do. We don't have a responsibility in this matter. We're just human. That's not the way it works. And so we can say that we're serving him, and we're going to say we're part of Messiah's body. But if we have not cast away all of our transgressions, if we have not turned away from them, Messiah says, I don't want to kill you. But why will you die? Cast away all your transgressions. Held on to some things. So we saw this last night, that we're responsible to cast away our transgressions, to stop sinning. And then the Most High will give us his heart, which he has given us in his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments. He has given them to us. He's given us his heart. This is my heart on these things. This is how I feel about these things. This is how I conduct myself in these matters. What I'm going to hold you responsible to. My statutes, my laws, my commandments, my ordinances, and my judgments. That you might do them. So cast away these things from you. Go to Ezekiel 36. The book of Ezekiel 36. Let's get verses 26 and 27. And we'll move on into this morning's portion of this. Ezekiel 36. Verse 26 and 27. A new heart also will I give you. When we cast away our transgressions, when we turn from them, stop doing them, truly repent, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. His heart, his spirit, is what he's going to put in us. I'm going to write my laws, my commandments in your heart. And I'm going to put my spirit within you. Will I put within you? And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. Literally, his spirit. And cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. This is where Israel always fails. They had the statutes, they had the laws, they had the commandments. But when the Most High, when it came down to carrying out the judgment, Israel came up with their own judgment. We're not doing, you know, you said if my child did this and did that, bring him before the elders and stone him, we can't do that. That's my child. I can't do that. He says, I'm going to put my spirit within you where you will keep my judgments and do them. Not create your own. So when we have the Spirit of the Most High, when we are filled with him, when we have his heart, it's to do his will. It's to keep the statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his judgments, and to do them. to do, but what he says to do. And we have to have his spirit in order to do that. If not, we will judge according to our own spirit. We'll judge according to our own standards. So now, on last night, we talked about you get that by having godly sorrow, understanding that you have transgressed against the Most High Elohim, and what that actually means. You transgress against the Most High. And you have to realize that the sin rises to that level and that you have to have that amount of sorrow. You know, we transgress against our brother or our sister, that's one thing. But when we transgress against the Most High, that's a sin unto heaven, unto the Most High, and you got to have sorrow and repentance unto that level. Be very sorry that you transgressed against me. You ought to be in fear, because I have the power of life and death over you. Not only can I kill your body, but I can kill your spirit, which is eternal. But I'm not going to kill your spirit. I'm going to do something else that I prepare for the angels and the demons that went against me. So we got to understand, that's why he keeps saying, fear me. The beginning of all wisdom is to fear him. Understand that if you transgress against him, it's not a good thing, and it's not going to fare well with anybody that does. He gave the angels free will, and he gave us free will. But in the end, what he wants in his kingdom is those who will obey him and have his heart, his mind, and love him from that standpoint. To love him from that standpoint. So we have to have his heart, his mind. And he says, I will give it to you if you will cast away all your transgressions and turn yourself, truly repent with godly sorrow. Most High Elohim, I am so sorry that I was disobedient. I know I deserve death. I know that I deserve destruction. Have mercy upon me. True repentance, laws. You understand his heart. You understand his position, who he is, because I truly believe for a lot of people, the Most High is not real. He's just not real to them. They say he is, but if he was real, then you would understand that you really need to fear him. He don't tell us to fear him for no reason. And that's not just a deep respect. That is with trembling, because we really don't know who we're messing with. So let's get into the new aspect of this, the new spirit that he's going to give us, the new heart. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and 31, the Most High was telling Israel, I'm going to give a new covenant. I'm going to change the old covenant. I'm going to change the old contract. I'm not deleting the entire contract. But because you couldn't keep it and wouldn't keep it, I'm going to do a new contract. And instead of writing my laws, my commandments and my judgments on stone, I'm going to write them in your heart that you would do them. So I know for a fact now that if you have the Spirit of the Most High, if he has chosen you and he has given you his spirit, your mind is to keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his judgments. Without his spirit, you will not do that. You'll try to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments, and you'll do most of them. But when it comes to carrying out what he says is the reward or the penalty for certain actions, won't do because it's contrary. We'll listen to science. We'll listen to man. So let's talk about this new spirit within you. Five is showing Israel that the new covenant has been created via the work of Messiah. This new covenant is not entered into via works of righteousness. Because, you know, we'll think that, hey, if we keep the statutes, laws, and the commandments, then we are good enough. And we are good enough for ourselves to enter in. And it says, no, not that you should boast. That you can cancel out what Messiah did, because I made sure that everyone was a sinner. And everyone, the only way to get out of that nature, or to get out of that category, to be declared a non-sinner, is through Messiah. See, the blood of bulls and goats change your heart. Couldn't change your heart. Couldn't change your conscience. But he says, I'm going to give you my heart. I'm going to give you my spirit. I'm going to give you a change of heart and a change of spirit, a change of conscience. So he says, you must be born again. What does that mean? Go to John chapter 3. The book of John chapter 3. And we're going to get verses 3 through 5. Because see, we can be in the body of Messiah, never having experienced these things, or say that we're in his body, never having experienced, declaring that we are his. When he says, you know, with your lips, you worship me, but your heart is far from me. You don't have my heart. You're not doing things the way that I told you to do them. John chapter 3, the motivation is not right. The book of John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Yeshua answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Elohim. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus is thinking that, hey, this is, you're talking about a physical rebirth. You're talking about me going back into my mother's womb, coming back out again and starting over? Messiah answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Elohim. Now, this water is the baptism, the submersion in water, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. That is the water baptism, being born of the waters, not the water that comes forth from birth. It is the water of baptism, being submerged, because it represents being buried. It represents you as dying. I died to all those sins. I cast away all those transgressions. I repented that I'm not going to do them anymore. And I turned myself toward the Most High. Then by the Spirit, he says, I will put my Spirit in you. That's a literal thing. So you must be born of the water and of the Spirit of the Most High. And he puts his Spirit in us when he sees that we have truly repented, when we have truly turned away from our sins, our transgressions, and want to be his. We want his heart and his mind. The Most High says he himself is going to give his people a new heart and a new spirit. It is supernatural. Once you do what you're supposed to do, the second part of this, he does. I'm going to write my laws in your heart. I'm going to put my spirit within you. You can't do that. I'm going to do a supernatural act. Take notice, if he has to do it, it means that you don't have it in you. It's just like the scripture says, beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, but it does not yet appear. But how did we become a son? He says that he was going to put his laws and his commandments and his judgments and his ordinances in our heart. I'm going to write them in your heart that you should do them. But to become a son, Messiah came to so that we might become the sons of Elohim. If we have to become something, we are not yet it. So just because we are born human doesn't make us a son of Elohim if it's something that we have to become. So it's something that he does. Based on the condition of our heart. You don't have to give us a new heart if we have his heart. You don't have to give us his spirit if we have his spirit. This is the thing that he has to do for us. The reason that Messiah came, that he might make us the sons of Elohim, the children of Elohim. We got to understand that. Now, we talked about the love of Elohim already, and let me just quickly re-explain that. Agape love, the love of Elohim. The love of Elohim is his statutes, his law, his commandments, his ordinance, his judgment. This is my heart on these things. And I'm going to give you my heart. I'm going to tell you what I expect, how I expect it, the reward for doing it, what's the reward for disobeying it. That's my heart on these things, in these matters. And I want to give you my heart that you might do these things. First John, the book of First John. Chapter 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of Elohim. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. If you have his heart, you have his love. You will obey his commandments. I love them that love me and keep my commandments. I don't love them that don't love me and disobey me. Because the world is teaching that the Most High loves everyone. Christianity is teaching that the Most High loves everyone. Israel is teaching that the Most High loves Israel because we're Israel. The Most High don't love everyone, and he don't love Israel, the Hebrew Israelites, just because we are Hebrew Israelites. If we are disobedient, we don't belong to him. So, and we don't obey him, we don't belong to him. We don't love him. Because he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us? By giving us his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgments that we might do them. And if we don't do them, then, and we can't say we love him. He says, you know, you can say what you want. But if you're sitting in my kingdom and you are disobeying me, you are an outlaw. You are unrighteous. You are unlawful. And you can't abide in my kingdom. That's all those people who are invited to the wedding supper. And Messiah will come up to them and say, how did you get in here? You claim that you belong to me. You got the invite. but you're not dressed properly. You don't have on righteousness. You're not lawful. Mine's not within you. Get away from me. I don't know you. You were serving somebody else, claiming to belong to me, saying that you don't have to keep my law, claiming that you love your brother and your sister, claiming that you love me, but not according to my standard, according to your own. Because I told you, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But we don't have to do your commandments. That was for them. And for them, my Hebrew brothers and sisters, we'll say we keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. We won't say we keep his judgments, though. And he says, I'm going to give you my spirit so that you will keep my judgments and do them. The whole package. Don't go about to create your own righteousness. Don't go about to create your own righteousness by doing what you want to do. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Not Hebrews, Romans chapter 10. The book of Romans chapter 10. Because as we're doing this, I want to take us back over stuff so that we get an understanding of what the scriptures are saying to us. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Brethren, my heart, desire, and prayer to Elohim for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. Not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Elohim. Let me read that again in another way. Let me paraphrase a couple of words. For they being ignorant of Elohim's law, going about to establish their own lawfulness, have not submitted themselves unto the lawfulness of Elohim. When it came to his judgment, Israel was like, we can't do that. We won't do that. We'd rather do what the Gentiles are doing. They seem to be more compassionate. They seem to be more righteous. They seem to be more fair. Let me put it that way. They seem to be more fair. And the Most High accuses Israel of that. Are not my ways more righteous than your ways? Israel's answer was, in effect, no. Because they wouldn't do it. We got to understand, he says, under this new covenant, everybody that enters into this new covenant must be born again with his heart and his mind to do his will. That's why Messiah said that his will be done in heaven and in earth. It all goes together. Not what we want, but what he wants. Everything, not just what we agree with. That's why we have to have his mind. We have to have his heart. We have to have his ways and do them. Not make up our own. So his love for us was to reveal his heart, which he'd already previously revealed to Israel, and they broke his heart by breaking his commandments. I pray we can get this. If you love me, keep my commandments. How say that you love me? How do you say that you love me and do not at what I tell you to do? Messiah was reiterating it. How are you going to say you love me and don't obey and keep my saying? I'm the one that gave them to you in Torah. How do you say you love me and don't keep my commandments? Born again aspect of this. The Most High gave his agape, his love, to the authentic believers, those that truly believe, not just said that they believe, not just, you know, they feared, but they didn't fear enough to actually do. They fear going to the lake. He says, no, I want you to fear me and actually do what I tell you to do, and then you won't have to worry about going to the lake. You have my mind and my heart. Who the Most High gives his spirit to, they are truly his. They are his children. Just like, as I said before, if we are in the world and a man and a woman come together and they produce a child and the man don't think that the child is his, then they can do a paternity test. And if they find his DNA within that child, they say, oh, that's your child. If they don't find his DNA, they say, hey, it's not my child. It's not your child. Okay? If the Most High don't find his spirit in us, then he says, you're not my son. You're not my child. And he gives his spirit to those who do what he says to do with signs following so that we know that we know. We don't claim something or be told something. Oh, yeah, you received the Ruach HaKodesh. How do you know? What is the sign? Are you truly willing to keep everything, even his judgment? Or will your mind tell you and your heart tell you, no, you know, these nations and science are more righteous, more fair than the Most High. So I'll do that. Or we'll make the excuse, well, we're not in our land. So we can't do that because we're in the Gentiles' land and we have to follow the laws of the Gentiles. Even if it costs you your life, you cannot disobey the laws of the Most High. If we did it, the Gentile nations would just say, you know, that's them. Yeah, we got our stuff, but they do their own thing. See it too many times. So we make excuses. And anybody that claims to be part of Israel, anybody that claims to be part of Messiah has to follow the laws of the Most High, not the laws of the land. Follow the laws of the land until they contradict or conflict with the laws of the Most High. Accept the judgments of the land for transgressing their laws, except for if they contradict the judgments of the Most High, if it also transgresses his law. His law always supersedes the law of men. If you say you follow him, if you say that he's your Elohim, he's your king, he's your God, if you say that, then his laws always must supersede the laws of man if they contradict his laws, no matter where we are at in the world. It doesn't matter. That's our example in the scripture. Go to John chapter 3. Back to John chapter 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Elohim. Verse 5. Yeshua answered, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Elohim. Can't have a halfway salvation. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. This word, again, comes from the word anoth, A-N-O-T-H-E-N, which comes from the word ano, and it means from above. You must be born from above, from the Spirit of the Most High, from the top, from the beginning, or from the Spirit. It means, in effect, born from an act of Elohim, born of Elohim, born from Elohim himself. In the Sermon on the Mount, Messiah is speaking about how we enter into the kingdom of heaven. What Messiah is doing is laying down the parameters, the guidelines for what we must do to enter into the kingdom. He is telling us we must obtain a new heart of agape love, his love, which is also called life. We have to do that in order to enter in. We have to be chosen by him, though. And how we are chosen is, and the standard that he uses is, truly repented with godly sorrow of your transgression. And it's your heart not to transgress anymore. So that which you know is wrong, you won't break it again. Is that your heart? Or are you saying, I'm still struggling with some things, and you know, Most High, you're just going to have to be lenient and merciful? You know, no, I told you to stop. Now, sometimes some things we don't get to overnight, but there's some things that we have to get to overnight. If it's a transforming and a reconditioning of the heart, sometimes that takes a process or it takes a time. You know, when if somebody treats you, you know, with ill will towards you, for you to love them, that might take some time for you to get that concept. But sins against your own body, when he says, hey, don't fornicate, you know what fornication is? I'm not in the right relationship to be laying with somebody in an intimate way. I got to stop that. I know that I shouldn't be stealing. I got to stop that. I know that I should be honoring my father and mother, and we've been at odds. I need to go make up with them and then respect them. Things that you can do right away. And sometimes, you know, you can apologize and love somebody from a distance. We're just not going to have this constant conflict, this constant friction between us. I'm not going to go there with you anymore. I don't want to transgress. So I went when, you know, my brother comes up and slapped me, the old me might come back out. Because my first response is going to be to slap him back or defend myself, but you could turn the other cheek. And those types of transformations come in time. So we got to understand he's telling us, cast away all of your transgressions wherein you have transgressed. If you were a thief, if you were in an adulterous relationship, if you were a fornicator, if you did whatever, and you know it's wrong, stop. Stop what you don't know is wrong. But the day that you find out that it's wrong, you're supposed to stop out of fear of the Most High, out of love for him. Your ways are right. My ways are wrong. Your ways are just. Man's ways are unjust. Because really, what man does is his ways proliferate or cause sin to continue, because it doesn't really address the root of the problem. Well, let's see if we do this. Let's see if we do that. The Most High says, you know what? When your heart has become corrupted and your spirit is corrupted, there's certain levels of corruption. He says the only way to fix it is to end that life. That's the only way to fix it. And we don't want to hear that. So we must be born of Elohim himself. We must have his spirit to become his children. We don't have his spirit, it's you, none of mine. If we read his statutes, laws, commandments, and his judgments, and we try to do them without his spirit, he says, you still ain't none of mine. You're trying to be good without me. And I've made it in this new covenant that I'm going to give you my spirit. I have to select you. I have to choose you, because I see your heart. I see your motivation as to why you want to do this. And if your heart is not right before me, I'm not going to choose you. So you can come up in here acting all right, but secretly there are things that you are doing. Nobody else may not know it, but I know it. That you are serving me in iniquity. You didn't do what I asked you to do. You tried to come to me on your terms, not on mine. So you came up to try to come in the back door. I told you, you must come in the front door. You're trying to be all over the place. I told you to walk the straight and narrow path. You tried to come in through the wide gate, doing what you want to do. Go back to 1 John. Book of 1 John. Chapter 3. In verse 14. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life. We love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Wait a minute. I didn't kill anybody. When you display hate, I'm love. When you display hate from your heart, that is who you are. That is what you are. And if you display this hate towards your brother who I told you to love, then you are a murderer. And you know not, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. What we say with our mouth, say with our tongue. The tongue is a mighty weapon. In it is life and death. When we have the heart of the Most High, then we understand that we have to be very careful about what we say and how we say it and of whom against we say it. Because the Most High says, how do you say you love me and hate your brother? How can you say you love me whom you cannot see and then hate him whom you can see? You got to believe on me out of faith. You don't need no faith to believe in your brother. They're right there right before you. You don't need no faith to believe that they exist. They're right in front of you. But you say you love me, but hate your brother. He says, you have hate in your heart. You are not mine. I don't tell you to do these things because I hate you. I don't give you my heart to have hate in it. But there is no hate in my heart. What I hate is evil. So verses 14, 15, and 16 again. We didn't read 16 yet. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of Elohim, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. If it's not in your heart to do that, to have that kind of love for your brother or your sister, the love of Elohim is not in us. But whoso has this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of Elohim in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So when we have the love of Elohim in us, we don't see the need of our brothers or our sisters, set up our bowels against them. Can't help everybody. But those that the Most High puts on your heart to help, you need to help them. Especially if they have no other way of help. Okay. So when we have the love of Elohim in us, we pass from death unto life. To say otherwise would be to stand in opposition of the scripture. Agape love, that is the bestowment of the rebirth experience upon the real born-again believer. Agape love brings life. For agape love is life. Move on here. Messiah explains by what method man must enter in to the new covenant, into the kingdom. Because to get the new covenant is to enter into the kingdom. If a soul refuses for whatever reason, he will not enter in, but face eternal ruin. If you believe some doctrine, if the love of Elohim is not really in you, if the love of Elohim is only in you for yours, those that you love, that you won't enter in. The new covenant is a new heart covenant. I'm going to put in you a new heart. A new heart brings with it a new life. And without it, we are dead. The new covenant requires a new heart and a new divine spirit. Not our carnal, earthly spirit, but a divine spirit, the spirit of the Most High. Spirit, our spirit, must be adjusted back to the standard of Elohim, his standards, his ways. Elohim's standard is pure love. Keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments. brother as yourself. His law is to love the Most High. Love him with all your heart. Got to be adjusted back to his standard. Man, mankind himself must undergo a radical love change from the natural man to divine. From the natural way that we love to divine love. If we are the sons of Elohim, then we are to be divine. He makes us divine by making us his children, divine beings. See, if we understand that, then we know we have to love the way that he loves. We have to be the way that he is. If we don't have this conversion from natural to divine, we cannot enter into the new covenant. It's impossible. Go to Matthew 7. I've already said this, but we'll just read it again. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to get verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction. And many there be, which go in thereat. Not saying many that there be that go in at the straight gate. He's saying many that enter in go in at the wide gate, unto destruction. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leads unto life. And few there be that find it. You there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, for which come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like they're telling you the truth. They sound like a sheep. They look like a sheep. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. Don't have the spirit of the Most High. They are deceiving. So few find the true way. Not everybody finds this way. Most people do not find it. That's why he says, many are called, but few are chosen. Many come to Messiah, but they choose the wrong door. They choose the wrong gate to enter into. They try to come in another way, come in their own way, try to come in without actually having and receiving the heart of the Most High. Take point out something here in that verse. Let's read this again a little bit more carefully and pay attention even to the order of the word. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life. I am the door. I am the gate. By accepting Messiah and what he did for us, that's the start. Even accepting Messiah, if you accept Messiah, then you will, if you truly accept him, then you will do what he says to do. That leads unto life. Just accepting Messiah as your Savior and don't do what he says to do don't lead you to life. He says, because you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You don't do what I tell you to do. So you never reach the end of the tunnel. You never reach the other side of the gate, the tunnel that's on the other side of it. You never reach the end of it. That's what leads to life, doing what he says to do. So I'm going to give you a way. Let me see if I can say this a little bit plainer in the modern vernacular. I'm going to give you a clean slate. I'm going to allow you to start over. And if you don't do what I say to do, you won't receive eternal life. Not going to happen. I'm going to let you start over. I'm going to wipe all your charges clean. I'm going to wipe them clean. And I'm going to make you a new creature. And then you got to do the right thing. Romans chapter 3. The book of Romans chapter 3. About verse 25, 26. Verse 25. Whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. This word propitiation. Stoning victim. Like the lid of the ark, the mercy seat, through the blood of Messiah, the Most High, is allowing the death of Messiah to pay for your sin, whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation, an atoning victim. I'm going to kill Messiah that you might live through faith in his blood. I'm going to give you credit for death if you believe in Messiah for the remission of sin, underline it, that are past, not future, that are past. So enter you into the straight gate. Come to Messiah. I'm going to allow his blood to pay for your sins, and I'm going to give you credit for death and let you start over. All your sins that are in the past when you come to Messiah, I have forgiven. Not your future sins. Because see, people think that once they come to Messiah, every time they sin, then they just have to claim it up under the blood. Not so. Doesn't work that way. People are operating outside the parameters that the Most High set. He says, I'm going to allow you to claim Messiah, I'm going to forgive all your sins, willful and ignorant, in Messiah one time. But not your future sins. I'm not forgiving those. Because you're not supposed to go back into sin. Especially those things that you knew were sin. And you're supposed to cast those away from you. You're supposed to turn yourself away from those sins. Most High, you know, I've been chasing skirts all my life. That's what I was taught to do. Chase, and any one of them that would let me, I would, you know, lay with him. and figured out and learned all kind of ways to lay with them, do all kind of things, bragged about it, became known for it. Now I know that those things are wicked. Those ways are wicked. I'm casting them away. I'm not going to ever return to them because I know that they are transgression. I'm throwing those things away and I'm turning myself away from it. Most of it is good. Now, all those things that you did that you know are sin, because I know you don't know all my law yet. I'm going to forgive you for them. Go and sin no more. Now, the Most High understands that there are some things that we didn't know, and he says, now, if there's something that comes up that you're doing or not doing that you didn't know about, then you can come and confess that the day that you find out about it. The day that you find out about it, you should be casting it away and turning from it with godly sorrow. And I am true and just to forgive you because you did it ignorantly. And I know you feel bad about it because in your heart, you did not want to transgress. You didn't know you were transgressing. You didn't know. So now you know, and you have godly sorrow. Oh, most of, I didn't know. Had I known, I would not be doing this. I would not been doing this. Or I would have been doing if I was supposed to be doing something. I would be doing it if I knew. Please forgive me, and I will do it or not do it from this time forward. He says, I'm doing just to forgive you. Because it was ignorant. I hope we can see how this is working. We can understand that we don't serve an unjust Elohim. He's not going to sentence you to death for something that you didn't know was wrong. Still sin. Don't make it not sin because you didn't know. But you weren't breaking it willfully. You knew. When you found out, you knew and you said, hey, I'm not going to do that anymore. Please forgive me. And I won't transgress in this thing again. Have mercy on me. Okay, my son, my child, you are forgiven. Don't even worry about it no more. I know you're not going to do it again. That's what the Most High is looking for. Not, you know, Most High, I didn't know that was wrong. And, you know, I'm going to try to do better. No, Most High didn't ever say you can try. Sin no more. Now you know it's wrong. Don't do it. There shouldn't even be a struggle with that. How narrow that gate is versus what the church is teaching. Oh, anytime you sin, just confess it, and he's doing just to forgive you. Not if you know that it's sin, he's not. You know it's sin, and you're still doing it, and you say you belong to him, you have a false salvation. You have fallen from grace, the law. If you try to keep the laws, you have fallen from grace. The grace was that I didn't kill you. I extended the scepter to you And when you were in willful sin, when you were in sin, period, I offered for you to come into Messiah. I offered for you to receive forgiveness. That's my grace. I didn't heal you when rightfully you deserve death. So when they teach that, oh, if you try to keep the law, if you try to keep the law and you haven't been accepted by him, you have never entered in. But once you have entered in and he has filled you with his spirit, he expects you to obey and keep his law. And that which you know ignorantly, don't know ignorantly, you can confess. And he is true and just to forgive you. Here, how rich you are, how famous you are. You don't care about that. He's not a respecter of persons. You don't care what your status is in life. Every man, whether poor or rich, whether he's a king or a servant, has to go through this process, has to follow the parameters to enter in. The most likely going to say, oh, just because you are king, you get exception, or you're the president, you know, you get in because you're the president. And no. Even if you're the pastor of the flock, because there are a lot of false pastors out there. Let me get a verse here. Seems I left it out of my precept. So I brought it into my mind. Just a second. I apologize. From a couple of places. Go to Acts chapter 10. The book of Acts chapter 10. What time are we at? 9:47. Acts chapter 10, and we're going to start at verse 28. Now, this is when the Ruach was released to the Gentiles. And Peter is having a problem understanding that he's going to need to go to the Gentiles. And the Most High has to send down this sheet of unclean animals and tell Peter to go break a law, going to modify that law. Okay, now he's not modifying the law of what's clean and unclean as far as the animals go, but these animals represent people. Okay? And so the Most High is going to go from accepting only Hebrews, Hebrew Israelites into the kingdom, Israelites. I'm just going to say it that way because they were members of Israel that were proselytes, that were accepted into the kingdom from the very beginning. They had accepted the faith of our forefathers, and they believed on one Elohim, and they kept, you know, believing, keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments. They're called proselytes. They wanted to join themselves to Israel, but they were not Hebrew. Okay, and this is what, you know, I think a lot of times our people forget. Acts chapter 10, verse 28. And he said unto them, know you how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation? But Elohim has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That's what this whole vision that Peter was given was to teach him. Therefore, I came unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I asked, therefore, for what intent, what reason you have sent for me. Now, this is Cornelius and his, you know, Cornelius, whom he's praying. He's a Gentile. And he's been praying, and the Most High says, send for Peter. Okay? And he's going to tell you what to do. Verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of Elohim. Send therefore to Joppa, and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner. Excuse me. By the seaside. Who, when he is come, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before Elohim to hear all the things that are commanded thee of Elohim. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that Elohim is no respecter of persons. So that, I think it's in Deuteronomy chapter 10 or 12 as well. But in every nation, he that fears him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. This is who the Most High wants. He that fears him and worketh righteousness, lawful, keeps his commandments. He told this to Israel first. You know what? I don't care where they're from. In every nation, he that fears him and worketh righteousness, that keeps his law, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgments, is accepted with him. The word which Elohim sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Yeshua HaMashiach, he is master of all. He is Lord of all. He is King of all. He is Elohim of all. So I started with my priesthood. And I put my heart into them. And I put my spirit into them. And now I'm opening the kingdom to that which I told my priesthood they were not even supposed to mix with. You know how it is unlawful for a man that is a Jew to come unto one of another nation. But now I come and bring this same message that was given to Israel to the Gentile nation. The problem is that the Gentile nation didn't want to be like Israel. They want to come to the Most High and not have to keep his laws. And the Most High made it very clear. They don't have to be circumcised to come to me to receive salvation and get into the kingdom like you do. Hebrew Israelite. But when they want to come close, if they want to come close, if they want to keep my Passover, they got to maintain the laws. And to keep my Passover, then they got to be circumcised. No uncircumcised person can keep it. So if they want to, now, if they have his laws, if they have his heart, as they learn about him, there should be no way that they don't want to keep his Passover, to keep his feast day. But the Most High knows that they don't have that in them from the beginning. Problem is that they are believing on the doctrines that they, hey, they don't ever have to have it. They don't ever have to desire it. They don't have to keep his law. Then if Israel got cut off for not keeping his law, statutes, commandments, his judgment, what is going to happen to us? That doesn't do it. Oh, we are in here by grace. This was first given to the Jews. So how are you going to make another law for yourself? It's a false salvation. Go to Romans, the book of Romans. Well, no, let's finish here. Drop down to verse 34, 35. Yeah, we got that already. Okay. Go to Romans, the book of Romans. And I'll tell you what chapter here in just a second. And start in verse 11, Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 11, actually verse 10, Romans chapter 10 and 10, starting there. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It didn't say Israel believes unto righteousness. Man believeth unto righteousness, unto lawfulness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, the Jew and the Gentile. For the same Lord or the same master over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of Yah shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? Shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, a teacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How shall they teach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, God, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Elohim. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. He's talking about the church, the true church. And by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he said, all the day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. You worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You're telling people to keep the statutes, laws, and the commandments of the Most High, but then you yourselves don't do it. That's what Messiah professed against his own brethren. Now we bring the Gentiles in. Chapter 11, starting in verse 1. The book of Romans, chapter 11, starting in verse 1. We're going to run about 10 minutes over for those who are listening. And we will stop it here for today. We'll pick it up next Sabbath. We're still not finished with this false salvation. Is it possible? Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 1. I say, then, has Elohim cast away his people? Elohim forbid. I'm not casting away my people. I'm going to punish all those and give them the same punishment I'm going to give everybody who's wicked. If they don't turn from their transgressions, like I have commanded, if they don't turn themselves, they'll be judged according to their works. But all those who turn themselves and cast away their transgressions, truly repent and serve me in fear. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Elohim has not cast away his people which he foreknew, because see, this is what the Gentile nations say. The Most High cast you away. This is how our Muslim brothers and sisters could sell us into slavery. You're the people of the book. You are cursed. It's okay to sell you. All kind of different things, okay? Know you not what the scripture saith about Elias, how he maketh intercession to Elohim against Israel, saying, yeah, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of Elohim unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. You ain't the only one, Isaiah, who has not bowed down the knee to the image of Baal. You look like you by yourself. You're on mission to do what I want you to do. There wasn't a whole lot of people following Isaiah. There's never a whole lot of people following after the prophet if they're doing what the Most High told them to do, because Israel and his people don't want to hear. They want to do what they want to do. Even so, then, at the present time, also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. A remnant of Israel that the Most High elected and said, I'm going to give you grace. And I'm going to save you in this time. And everyone, this word has never been stopped being preached to Israel, even in our being scattered. And if by grace, then no more work. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If you think you can get into this thing because you think you can keep my laws, but I've already determined that you are a sinner and you need to be changed from that the sinner into a saint, you don't accept Messiah, then you can't get in on your own works. You have cast away your grace. But if it be of work, if you can keep the law and not have sin, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, he's not telling them that they don't have to keep the statutes, laws, and the commandments and the judgments of the Most High. They're saying, but if you think you can do that and reject Messiah, you're in for a rude awakening. You need this grace. Can't just get in on the fact that you are Israel and you keep the commandments, because you never did. You kept the commandments, the ordinance and the statute, but you didn't keep my judgment. You didn't do the whole thing like I told you to from your heart. What then? Israel has not obtained that which you seek for, but the election have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The election, the remnant, that wasn't a many people, because in Isaiah's time, out of millions of people in Israel, Most High says, I got 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. He says, even so, in the time of when Paul is writing it, it's the same thing. Elohim has not forsaken his people. I got a remnant that I elected to take as my children, as my sons. And the rest were blinded. According as it is written, Elohim has driven them, has given the spirit of slumber. He put Israel to sleep, that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear until this day. Until that day came that he started waking Israel back up. Problem is, most of my brothers and sisters woke up with an identity crisis. and so proud to find out that they are the people of the book, that that's all they believe in. That's all they brag upon. It becomes self-worship. Let me put on my tzitzit, and let me put on my phylacteries, and let me learn how to speak Hebrew, and let me do all these things but serve the Most High in the way that he said, to serve him. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a repayment unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. See, David understood and the prophets understood how Israel was disobedient. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Elohim forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. For to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. This is why most camps today, they can't really speak a good word about the church because led them, didn't teach them the whole truth, didn't tell them who they were as a people, to provoke Israel to jealousy. We were supposed to give the gospel to the world. We were supposed to be the priest of the world, the Most High priest. We didn't want to do the job. We wanted to be like them. So he provokes us to jealousy. You want to serve those other gods? You want to serve the gods of the nation? Gods that your forefathers knew not? Gods of wood and stone? Let me take a wild woman. One that don't believe she has to obey me, but still belong to me. And let me make you jealous. Now, if the fall of them, Israel, be the richest of the world, and the diminishing of Israel be the richest of the Gentiles, how much more Israel's fullness, when we come back into the knowledge and into the true state of how we were always supposed to be, cast away our transgressions and get the heart of the Most High. This is what he brought Israel up for and made a nation of Israel for. To have his heart, to have his mind, to walk in his ways, to judge the way that he judges. So when we get in that place, how much better, how much more our fullness, if us being cast down is the riches of the world, and us being cast down, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more our fullness when we are, what is that going to look like? For I speak to you Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation Israel, which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Because all Israel ain't going to hear this. Some are appointed to a certain faith. The Most High says, I'm going to save a remnant of Israel. A remnant. We don't get to do to him what our forefathers did to him without punishment. So some of us will be saved. For if the casting away of Israel be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of, what shall the receiving of Israel be? But life from the dead? That's accepting a Messiah, not Israel as a people, but through our Messiah. For if the first fruit, which is Messiah, and the feast of first fruit is tomorrow, I was explaining this. There's a woman at the at the farmer's market, and she's a professed, quote-unquote, Jew from, you know, Israel, or by birth, so she says. And she had not too long ago accepted Messiah as her Savior, and she's still not understanding a lot of things from the law or from the new covenant. And so she wasn't understanding. She said, "Happy Easter" to me. And I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "Don't call it that." She looked at me like, "Why?" I said, "Because what does Easter egg and bunnies have to do with Messiah?" I said, "That is the worship of the goddess Esther. They say Easter. But Messiah's crucifixion has nothing to do with Easter eggs and bunnies. That is the mixing of a pagan worship with the crucifixion of Messiah. That holiday, that feast day, is known as the Feast of the First Fruits or the Heave Offering. And that's what you could call it." And she almost broke out in tears. But I didn't know. I said, "But now you do. Don't say Happy Easter. We don't worship the goddess Esther." So Messiah is the first fruit. If he be holy, then the lump also is holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now all those who are in Messiah, if we're truly in him, then he is our root. And if he is holy, then we are holy. So we got to be obeying. We got to be doing what it is that he said to do. We have to come to him truly in spirit and in truth, casting off our transgressions, turning ourselves and receiving the gospel and doing what we're told to do in the gospel. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, some of the branches is Israel, being broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, the Gentiles, so he's talking to the Gentiles, were grafted in among them, the branches that remain, that weren't broken off, and with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. So he's likening the Gentile nation as branches being grafted in through Messiah into the tree of Israel, Messiah's body. Boast not against the branches. Now, this is the great sin of the Gentile nation. Boast not against the branches. Don't brag against the branches. You boast, thou bearest not the root. If you know what you, who you are and what you are, and you've come to Messiah in truth, you're not going to brag against the natural branches. And you're not going to be of the root, Messiah. But the root beareth thee. Thou will say then, the branches were broken off. If they have understanding, you will say, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. They want to forget about Israel. They want to deal strictly with Messiah, but Messiah is saying, hey, you've been grafted into the same tree. Don't brag against the branches that were broken off. Don't talk bad about them. If they were broken off, that you might be brought in if you will do what I said to do. So you, that's what you're supposed to say, Gentile. Israel, the branches that were broken off, those disobedient ones, those ones that were scattered, they were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they, Israel, were broken off. And thou standest by faith. You are coming into this by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if Elohim spared not the natural branch, take heed lest he also spare not you. So if you're not telling the truth about Israel and Israel being, and the true Israelites being broken off and being scattered into all the nations of the world, and they were broken off that you might be in, that you might enter in. If you don't do what the Most High said, if you don't keep my commandments, see, this is where he says, many are called and few are chosen, and amongst the Gentile nations. If you don't fear Elohim and keep the commandments, the same reason, if you are disobedient, and if you walk in unbelief that what Elohim says he will do, he will do. If you don't believe that he says, if you can keep my commandments, and receive life. If you don't believe that and do it, then you also will be broken off. If I spare not the natural branches, don't think that I'm going to spare you. Verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of Elohim. Of Elohim. Everybody likes that. Nobody wants to hear about the severity of Elohim. On them which fail, severity. Got cut off. Scattered around the world. But toward you, Gentiles, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shall be cut off. What is his goodness? His statutes, his law, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments. To write them in your heart and in your mind and to do them. So we can see, all you got to do is look around. Listen to any broadcast and what they teach. If it is, you know that that is falsehood. You know that those are wolves in sheep's clothing, claiming to be saved and in the kingdom, but it's a false salvation. They're not doing what they told. They're still walking. They're walking in unbelief, claiming to believe on Messiah. Israel, if you're waking up, and you are not preaching the same thing, then you're still walking in unbelief. Three again. If they also, if they abide not still in unbelief. Now this day is Israel. So they're not read again, but. And they also, Israel, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. We were broken off. We are able to be grafted back in again, for Elohim is able to graft us in again. But we got to come to him in truth, in spirit and in truth. We got to cast away our transgression, everything that we transgress in. We got to turn from our wicked ways. We got to receive the salvation as he has said that we have to receive it, not as we want to receive it. You know, if I know I'm a Hebrew Israelite, sit enough. All I got to do is keep these statutes, laws, commandments the way I think I ought to keep them. And there's certain things I can't do because I'm in the land of my captor. Most of us are, My laws override all that stuff. And if they're in transgression of my law, you don't get their mindset. You do what I said to do. That's where Israel is messing up today. Trying to separate themselves from the world, but not according to knowledge. Not according to knowledge. So we are able to be grafted back in again if we don't walk in unbelief. The Gentiles are able to be grafted in if they don't stop, if they do what the Most High said to do. They are preaching two different Elohim. They are preaching two different salvations. Both Israel and the Gentiles, not according to knowledge, not according to the truth. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, Gentile, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall thee, Israel, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? The Most High gave Israel the statutes, the laws, the commandments, his oracles, is what he calls them, the statutes, laws, commandments, and the judgments. His heart. Israel broke his heart, broke his law. He says, now, I'm going to make them jealous by taking this wild woman. And this wild woman has to come to the understanding that she's going to need to submit herself to my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my ordinances, and my judgments. By faith, they have done, for the most part, the opposite. But he tells Israel, if you don't remain in unbelief, then you can be grafted back in again. If not, you're going to wake up, and you're going to profess that you know me, and I'm going to say, I never knew you. I know you not. You don't have my heart. You worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Stand. Then it is easier for us to be grafted back in to our own tree. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit. And that's what it is, conceited, proud and puffed up and you know, walking in that we the people of the book, and the Gentiles walking in, oh, you were cursed and cast away. We don't have to be like you. No, you don't want to be like us in disobedience. You don't want to be like our forefathers in disobedience, and you don't want to be like you're being in disobedience. We ain't up under those laws. Yes, you are. We don't have to keep those laws. Yes, you do. The Most High didn't delete his laws as long as heaven and earth is here. His laws won't pass away. He modified some things in the new covenant. I will write my law, my commandments, in your heart. That's what he did. It was supposed to happen. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. The fullness of the Gentiles is almost complete. That's why the Most High started waking up his people. That's why he started bringing them back into truth. And he knew that he was not going to open the eyes of all of Israel. He wasn't going to give all of Israel understanding. He's not even giving all the understanding to the Gentiles. Because if we are stuck on, we want to be walking wickedness, if we want to determine our own righteousness, then there's no way that we can understand. It's impossible to understand if we're coming at it by our own standards, if we don't use the Most High as the standard. So we can be in the body of Messiah and say, didn't we cast out demons in your name? I don't care if you're Hebrew or Gentile. Didn't we heal in your name? Didn't we do all these things in your name? And he's going to say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I knew you not. And so all Israel shall be saved. Now, when that word all there, Israel, is speaking to the remnant, those that come back to the Most High in truth, do what he says to do, get his heart. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, Israel, the seed of Jacob, when I shall take away their sin. So we got to get his heart and his mind. We got to come into Messiah. We got to take responsibility for our own transgressions and turn from them. Because see, people will read this and they're waiting for the Most High to do it, to take away our sins without us having to do anything. When he said, turn from your transgressions, cast them away from you, turn yourself, then I will put a new heart and a new spirit in you. As concerning the gospel, they, Israel, are enemies for your Gentiles' sake. But as touching the election, those that I chose, they are beloved for the Father's sake. So you can't replace Israel. There's a lot of different doctrines, and I'm hitting on a lot of them this morning. A lot of different doctrines. Israel. No, the church is Israel. And the Gentiles coming in are grafted into Israel, because Israel is the church. The body of Messiah is the church. Messiah is the king of the quote-unquote Jews. But I don't know how we twist this up. For the gift and the calling of Elohim are without repentance. I gave this gift. I chose Israel. I'm not going to repent of that. I'm going to repent of the wickedness I'm going to repent of the evil that I caused on my people. I'm going to have a change of heart toward them. But only the ones that are truly called and truly repent. The remnant. For as you in times past have not believed Elohim, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. This is the reverse here. The first part is talking about Israel. For you in times past, Israel, have not believed Elohim, yet have now obtained mercy through their Gentiles' unbelief. Even so, have these also now not believed that through your mercy, now he's talking about the Gentiles again, they also may obtain mercy. For Elohim has secluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth and the riches both of wisdom and knowledge of Elohim. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of Yah, and who has been his counsel? Or who has first given to the Most High, and it shall be repaid unto him again. For of him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. See, this plan that the Most High has, I'm going to use the unbelief of my people to bring in the Gentiles. And I'm going to use the unbelief of the Gentiles to graft my people back in. Because I've concluded all in sin. But I'm going to save a few out of both, Jew and Gentile. I'm not saving everybody. I'm not even giving the understanding to everybody. I hope we can hear this. Go to Matthew chapter 7, and then we will stop for today. Ran a little bit longer than I thought. The book of Matthew, might be even Luke, hold on. Matthew chapter 13, and then we'll get Luke so that we have an understanding once it's in here, so that we understand what it takes to be a disciple of Messiah. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 9. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why are you not speaking to them clearly? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. Not given to everyone. It wasn't given to the mass. He revealed these things to his disciples. Given. And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. We don't want everybody to understand. Who wants those that he chooses to understand, those that have a true heart for him to understand. Go to Luke chapter 14, verse 26, and I'm going to stop here today. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. If you love anybody more than you love Messiah, the Most High, you can't be my disciple. You can't follow me. And whosoever does not bear his cross, do whatever it takes, and come after me, whosoever won't be obedient, won't keep my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my judgments, my ordinances, come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, because you've got to consider this thing, got to sit down and consider it. For which of you intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish? Can I do what Messiah is asking me to do? Is it in my heart to love him more than I love anybody else? Even love him more than I love myself? Happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. This is where most people are at, because most people don't understand the cost. Don't really want to accept the cost. It's going to cost you your all. You got to do this whole thing with your whole heart. You got to seek his kingdom first. And Elohim and his righteousness first. Got to be willing to give your all. That's why he says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a great pearl or a precious pearl that a man found. And when he found it, he went and sold all, or like a treasure that you found in a field. And to get the treasure, you went and sold all you had to buy the field. Got to be willing to give your all to get into this thing. Got to serve the Most High with your whole heart. Can't have anybody love anybody more than you love him, not even your own self. You got to count. You got to sit down and say, am I willing to do this? Can I do this? Do I want to do it? No, I can fake the funk. I can just act like it. I can act pious in front of people, but then, you know, I'm not really doing that stuff. I can act like I keep the feast days, but, you know, and I'll hang around people that do, but when the feast days actually really come, I'm doing my own thing. I'm not honoring him the way he said to honor him. I'm not keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgments the way he says to keep them. I think the ways of the country that I'm in are more fair than the judgments of the Most High. Drop down to verse 33. Luke 14 and verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you, that forsake not all, underline that he has, that the Most High is blessing you so that you can do the work in the kingdom. He don't bless you so that you can have all this stuff for yourself. Forsake not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. So we have to understand that. Messiah said, go ye therefore into all the world, teaching them whatsoever I have taught you, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We have a job to do. The kingdom of heaven is already here on the earth. We are supposed to be establishing and living in that kingdom, expanding it by doing what he said to do. On next week, we will pick this up. So I pray that something was said to someone to encourage them to look at their own life. And no matter whether we are Jew or Gentile, that we examine ourselves to bring ourselves in line with what the Most High wants. But he says it's required that we cast away our transgressions, that we turn ourselves, that we are born of the water and of the Spirit. That we walk in his ways. On this evening, we will have a business meeting concerning Yester Run Farm Community Co-op. The farm in that community, and the grant that we are going after. And I think, I'll just say it here, we're going to have the meeting, I believe I'm going to start doing all the writing myself before I can train everybody, because the time is short, and, you know, I just need to put it down on paper, the vision of the community, which I've already rewritten. We have our own, you know, we have our bylaws and stuff. We're not redoing that. We're not going to change, you know, who we're allowing into the community. Those aiding in this must get the mind of, you know, what the committee, the board has already decided what the community is going to be, because, you know, doing a zealous work is a good thing. Doing a work is a good thing. And I love the heart of some people. As they go out and they try to introduce people to the community. But they got to understand that they need to introduce them to the community up under the bylaws based upon the word of the Most High. And in the beginning, you know, it's got to be people of a certain maturity. If they're still struggling with fornication and they think they're going to bring that to the community, or they're struggling with this, that, and the other, and they're going to bring it into the community, that can't be allowed. Can't start off, you know, with these types of things. As we grow and, you know, somebody comes in and everybody's not in the same place in the walk, I understand that. But they have to understand that we are and will be living by the statutes, laws, commandments, and the judgments of the Most High. We cannot do anything otherwise. So when people are coming, if they don't have that understanding and they don't truly understand what that means, you know, I need to have a conversation with them first to bring all that in. It's going to be hard enough as it is. And if we are not of one mind, as the scripture says, and one heart, the heart and mind of the Most High, then all we are going to be doing is living in confusion and in strife, arguing back and forth about stuff that we should not be arguing back and forth about, that we should have one mind on. And it's not my opinion versus your opinion. It is our opinion being in line with the Most High's opinion, what he said. So I need to make sure that that's clear, that that is the standard that we use. That's the standard that we want to live up under. That's the standard by which we know that we belong to him. And that we're going to do what he says that we ought to do, no matter where we're at. If we are in the United States, or if we're in Russia, or if we're in China, we're in South America, doesn't matter. The Most High's law, statutes, commandments overwrite, overrule the laws of man. No matter where we're at in the world, we belong to a different kingdom. And we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven in a land that is not ours until our king come back and claims the entire world. But we are to be spreading his kingdom in every nation that we're in. So we will have a meeting on this tonight, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you've never attended, you are invited to come. To those that have been on the board and have done this work, you know, we will be there, and we will continue this work. I'm just letting you know ahead of time, I was going through and teaching everybody, and we were learning grants.gov. We're doing grant writing 101. But as I'm seeing these deadlines, I may assign different work to each of you, you know, to do some research, but I will start writing and creating the content that we need to have to obtain these grants, at least to be considered ahead of time. And as I finish the writings, then I will share them with the group and then give you the rationale as to why, and then we can vote on it, because it's still, you know, the board has to vote on it. But time is short, and there's a lot of deadlines that need to be met, and so we're going to change this just a little bit. All right, with that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep
Excuse me, Brother Miles.
Yes, ma'am.
Is we going to have first fruit service tomorrow morning or tomorrow evening?
We're going to do, let's do first fruit service tomorrow morning.
Okay. 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock.
All right.
All right, amen. First fruit service tomorrow morning at 10. Usually we would do it tonight, but we have something else to do, and we will still be in accordance with the scriptures if we do it tomorrow at 10.
Okay.
We won't have broken anything.
All right.
All right, so we will do the business meeting tonight, and we will have Feast of the First Fruit tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. All right, with that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody into. Fear Yah and keep the commandments. Thanks.
Amen.
Shalom. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.
And everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect.
Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath. And peace and blessings to you all. Shalom, Sister Denise.
Shalom.